booster for your morning. All the news you need to know. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Well, good morning. At 5 minutes after 5 o'clock, this is the 77 WABC Early News. I'm Frank Morano.
And I'm Juliet Huddy. Frank, what happened to Lauren?
I'm guessing she overslept. This is a tough time to be up.
Yes, I mean, and she does have children running around the house. And mice.
Exactly.
That's true.
Many mice.
All right. Good to talk to you. Deb is following breaking news. Christian and Gabby are at the controls. Sid is in with sports. Oh, no. Christian is in with sports at 5:15.
That's right.
We've got one more day of Christian. That's it, right?
That's right. Then Christian will be leaving us to go film the television show Gravesend, where he has a small part.
Christian has been doing a great, great job, I have to say. Very, very impressed. Yes. I mean, the guy goes from relative obscurity to being in the number one radio market at the number one station.
Absolutely. He was quite obscure before we plucked him from obscurity
Just
and made him a star.
Here's what you're going to be talking about around the water cooler today. Does your blood type affect how bad you feel if you get COVID? And we know where the new site for the All-Star Game is going to be. It's not going to be in Georgia. And in your Jet Set Juliet travel update today, guys, I am going to talk about cruising the high seas again from U.S. ports. It is going to happen, allegedly. And the 100 best brunch spots, according to Travel and Leisure, I'm going to tell you how our area did at 540. I have to say, I'm not impressed with the number of brunch spots that were on this list. But there are quite a few, so I'll be naming them.
Oh, I can't wait. Brunch is my favorite meal of the day.
Is it?
Oh, without a doubt. I love
really?
Brunch. I'm strategizing my brunch for Sunday right now.
We might have to go to one of these places.
Wonderful. Good. We should. Hey, 7 minutes after 5 o'clock yesterday, Joe Nolan finally received my postcard that I sent him from Las Vegas. And it is great that that he is back on the roads and was kind enough to send me an email acknowledging receipt of that postcard. Joe, that was a very nice email you sent. Thank you.
Well, good morning, everybody. And as we start out this morning, really not that many accidents out there, but we do have a lot of road work, as you would imagine, both ways on the Sawmill. There's road work. Everything is shut down between Farragut and Ashford Avenue for repaving. New England Thruway southbound at Connor Street. They're doing some maintenance there as well. Right and center lanes are going to be out between there and Westchester Avenue. Then on the Staten Island Expressway, Verrazano Bridge, lower level. Again, that is going to be shut down because of the ongoing road work that's going on there. And alternate side of the street, parking rules and regulations once again today are going to be in effect. This report of service to Discover. Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year. It's amazing because Discover is accepted at 99% of places in the U.S. that take credit cards. Learn more at discover.com/yes. I'm Joe Nolan with traffic on the 7s. Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Okay, thank you very much, Joe, from the Ramsey Subaru Weather Center. Nice day today. Wow, yesterday was a beautiful day, but we're pretty much going to have the same exact day today. We'll get up a little bit warmer to a high of about 68, and with those light winds, it'll feel really nice. Wednesday, 69, although it will be partly cloudy, but the sun will be out here and there. Thursday, 66, again, mostly sunny skies. Friday, we'll have mostly cloudy skies, and we start to get a little bit cooler. We get down into the 50s, the high 50s, and by the weekend, we should be getting some showers rolling in. But all in all, not bad for the rest of the week. 49 degrees currently in New York City. And coming up in 1 minute, will the Biden administration demand that we carry vaccine passports? The answer has been given to us by none other than Dr. Fauci.
This is the WABC Early News.
10 minutes after 5 o'clock, this is the WABC Early News. I'm Frank Morano, and New York State is once again expanding coronavirus vaccine eligibility. Starting today, ages 16 years of age and older can now secure a dose. Those who are 18 and over can take any vaccine, but 16 and 17-year-olds are only cleared to receive the Pfizer brand. It comes a day after curfews were lifted on several businesses, including gyms, casinos, and billiards halls.
Well, this is interesting because we've heard a lot of rumors to the contrary, but when it comes to the Biden administration requiring Americans to carry vaccine passports, the nation's top doc says fake news. Dr. Fauci on Monday said the U.S. government will not be demanding people prove that they have been vaccinated, adding the onus is actually going to be on individual businesses like like theaters, for instance. He didn't rule out schools mandating them for entry, however. There are several states, as you know, including Florida and Montana and Pennsylvania, that are working very hard to pass legislation that would all out ban the vaccine passport, which would essentially be a document showing nothing but your name, the vaccine you got, and the fact that you're fully vaccinated. So far, about 32% of the country is fully vaccinated, and about roughly 19% have had their first shot. We would be in that group, Frank.
That's right.
Yes, I got my second on Saturday.
Wonderful. I hope you react well to it. My second one is April 29th. Now, at least what my understanding of what the New York State version of this is, the Excelsior passport, is that it'll show either that you've been vaccinated or that you've recently received a negative COVID test.
Yeah, and I don't really understand that. And also, I think there's a little area there for antibodies as well. Hmm. I'm not really, I guess it's dated or something. And then you're going to have to keep on updating it, I would imagine, because, you know, having a negative antibody test in a few days just is sort of irrelevant. I mean, a negative COVID test is irrelevant after a few days.
Right.
But,
yeah.
You know, we'll see.
Exactly. I guess we'll see when these get rolled out. Now, New York City is giving parents a little more time to decide whether to send their children back to school for in-person learning. Parents or guardians now have until Friday, in April 9th, that's this Friday, to make their decision, which will last through the end of the academic year. Students can choose between full in-person learning or a hybrid model. The survey can be found online at New York City's Department of Education website.
Well, Frank, I know how much you love aliens and UFOs. Mm. Andy B even sings a song about it. This is going to just blow your mind. You might have even talked about it already on your the Other Side of Midnight show. But the former director of the CIA says, yeah, I was skeptical about aliens until my friend's aircraft was, quote, paused at 40,000 feet. James Woolsey is the guy I'm talking about. He ran the CIA under, I believe it was the Clinton.
That's correct.
Yes. I think in the 90s, a couple of years there, 90s, 93, 95. Anyway, he was speaking to the Black Vault on Friday. He was promoting his new book, and he said, you know, yes, I am more open to the idea of alien life and UFOs than I previously thought I was because, again, my friend's aircraft was paused at 40,000 feet. He said it was somebody that he respects. And saying that literally his plane was stopped in midair. And he says, look, if we ever do come face to face with aliens, he hopes that humans are friendly, which I would hope that the aliens are
exactly.
Friendly.
My goodness.
Yeah.
Now, it is interesting. I caught this article, too. But it is interesting that this report, and you've brought it up on this show and I've talked about it before, this report that is going to force the Pentagon to disclose what it knows about a lot of this stuff is due June 1st. And we've seen a lot of high profile intelligence officials, yes, including the director of national intelligence, John Ratcliffe, and the former director of the CIA, John Brennan, all indicate that there's something that we're likely to hear. But we'll certainly be revisiting this in the days between
now. It's
going
to be mind blowing. We need to have a party.
Yeah. Well, let's do it.
We need to have a party on June 1st.
Sounds good to me.
I'm telling you. We need to have, what day of the week is that?
I'm not sure. We will research it before we get to sports with Christian Arnold in just a minute.
This is the WABC Early News.
5:15. This is normally where you hear sports with Sid Rosenberg. Sid's back tomorrow, but we are lucky enough to have Christian Arnold bring us all the latest sports headlines.
Well, thank you, Frank. Starting off with the NCAA Men's Basketball Championship game last night, the Baylor Bears ended the Gonzaga Bulldogs' march to perfection with an 86-70 victory in the national title game in Indianapolis. The championship is Baylor's first men's national title in school history. Jared Butler scored 22 points, and Macy O'Teague had 19 for Baylor. The Bulldogs finished the season at 31-1, so that means the 1975-76 Indiana Hoosiers remain the last team to finish the season undefeated. This was Baylor head coach Scott Drew after the win.
Our fans that have been with us for the lean years, the good years, and our administration, President Livingstone, Mack Rhodes, they all deserve this. The city of Waco deserves this. All right, Texas, we got a national championship too. The state deserves it.
Back here at home, the New York Jets made some headlines yesterday, trading quarterback Sam Darnold to the Carolina Panthers, ending the Darnold era in New York while likely signaling the start of the Zach Wilson era. The Jets are now expected to take the BYU quarterback in this month's NFL draft, where they hold the second overall pick. Darnold was taken third overall by the Jets in 2018 with the expectation of being the team's quarterback of the future. Inconsistent play and unfortunate injuries led to Monday's trade. The Jets acquired a sixth-round pick in this year's draft and a second and fourth-round pick in the 2022 draft, so now the Jets are likely to take Zach Wilson, which I'm sure will go much better than what happened with Sam Darnold. In baseball, the Mets finally got off to their start of the season last night in Philadelphia. There was a lot of excitement from Mets fans, but that was quickly wiped away when the bullpen blew a 2-0 lead in the eighth inning in a 5-2 loss to the Philadelphia Phillies. Starter Jacob DeGrom pitched six scoreless innings and struck out seven before handing over the reins to the bullpen. It was reliever Trevor May who gave up the first three runs to the Philadelphia Phillies in the eighth inning, and Aaron Loop gave up the final two. Again, they lost 5-2 in Philadelphia. The Yankees had a good night yesterday. They beat the Baltimore Orioles 7-0, and the Brooklyn Nets defeated the New York Knicks 114-112 at the Barclays Center. With sports at 15 and 45, I'm Christian Arnold for the 77 WABC Early News.
5:17, time for traffic and transit on the 7s. Here's Joe Nolan.
Well, good morning again, everybody. If you're on the Sawmill both ways construction between Farragut and Ashford, this is new this week. So, again, all lanes will be closed, and that's still about 6 o'clock this morning. New England Thruway, southbound Connor Street to Westchester Avenue. There's road work right and center lanes are out. And, again, Staten Island bound Verrazano, the lower level, also going to be shut down. So be very careful as you travel about. And alternate side, again, today is in effect. I'm Joe Nolan with Traffic on the 7s. Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Coming up in your Jet Set Juliet travel update at 5:40, I'm going to tell you about a brand new announcement from Norwegian Cruise Lines. It looks like they are going to be launching this summer. I'll tell you when.
All the news that's fit to be heard. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC.
5:19, the opening bell rings this morning after Wall Street kicked off the week after Easter with a bang. Stocks hit record highs yet again yesterday as strong jobs data boosted hopes for a quick economic recovery from the pandemic. The Dow Jones Industrial Average rose nearly 374 points, the S&P 500 gained 58, and the NASDAQ climbed 225 points. Now, consumer inflation expectations for March come out this morning, and analysts expect that number to rise slightly. They're forecasting inflation expectations coming in at 3.1% compared to 3.09% in February. Those inflation expectations are due at 11 a.m. this morning, Juliet.
Okay, thank you, Frankie. It is 49 degrees. We're heading up to about 68 degrees with lots of sun today. Going to be beautiful. 77 WABC early news time is 5:19. Coming up in your Jet Set Juliet travel update, the best brunch spots in the region. I'm going to tell you how New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut did at 5:40. But just very quickly, let me just get into the weather a little bit more. So today, again, like I said, it's going to be 68 degrees, nice and sunny. Tomorrow we'll get up to 69 degrees. The sun will kind of maybe go away for a little bit, peek in, peek out here and there. Thursday, we should have the sun back in full form, 66 degrees, though. It starts to get a little cooler as the week goes on. By Friday, it'll be 58 degrees and mostly cloudy. And then, unfortunately, it looks like we're going to have a rainy weekend. Literally, Saturday and Sunday will be rainy, and then Monday we'll have partly cloudy skies. Of course, in the meantime, there was a win for the former president. A Supreme Court on Monday kicked a case off the docket. Had to do with a lower court opinion that then-President Trump violated the First Amendment when he blocked some of his angry Twitter critics. The justices dismissed the case, essentially saying, you know, he's not in office any longer, so the point is kind of moot.
It is going to come up again with a whole bunch of other elected officials who will soon be former elected officials. It will be interesting to see what the courts hold in the future about what current elected officials and former elected officials are able to do.
I know. I kind of felt like the point is kind of moot. Point was a little bit, I don't know, just a little bit wimpy.
Mm. Yeah. No, I don't disagree with you. Absolutely. There's no shortage of people that deserve blocking on Twitter. But a Queens family wants answers after the NYPD allegedly stormed their house with a no-knock warrant. Seven people, including a toddler, were at the home in Jamaica last month when officers ran through the door without knocking, apparently looking for drugs. Homeowner Tawana Brown says no one had any idea what was going on, and the incident damaged her house, adding the NYPD hasn't offered her any money in debt. damages. Officers only found a small amount of marijuana, but the NYPD says it was looking into reports that drug deals had been going down at the residence. Brown denies these allegations, while the civil board that oversees the NYPD investigates the raid.
A royal update. Piers Morgan's head must be killing him because Prince Harry and Meghan Markle have been stomping in it obsessively for years at this point. The ousted British morning show host speaking out again about the exiled royals. He hooked up with Tucker Carlson over at Fox News to talk about their interview with Oprah and the aftermath. Again, Piers calling them liars, the interview, a smear job. Morgan had gone out for drinks with Markle, by the way, prior to her meeting Harry. Apparently, he thought that was reason enough that she shouldn't have ghosted him right after she met the prince. I cannot imagine why Markle would shut off the biggest blowhard and loudmouth this side of the Atlantic while trying to keep a royal romance secret. But clearly, he is still upset about it and still yapping.
Here's a little bit of Piers Morgan talking with Tucker Carlson yesterday on the Fox News channel.
It's not for me to say whether she felt suicidal. That's only for her to know, and I couldn't possibly say. What I was taking issue with was that she claimed she went to two members of the royal household, a senior aide and also to human resources, and she told both of them that she had was feeling suicidal and needed help, and both of them rejected that and said she couldn't get help because it would be bad for the brand of the royal family. I just find that impossible to believe, that you would have two people in the palace who would be that callous to a woman telling them that that she was suicidal.
I mean, do we not remember Diana and all the lessons from Diana, Pierce?
Just asking. I didn't watch the interview, but I did read a few descriptions of it. The one thing that I do find he makes a good point with is if Meghan Markle's going to be putting out these accusations against certain members of the royal family, why wouldn't she name names and say who's doing these terrible things?
Because I think they were just trying to protect – because they were trying to protect one person. It was apparently one person who was saying these racist things. And apparently it was Princess Anne,
right,
according to several insiders.
Well, it just strikes me as odd that why would you go out of your way to criticize this kind of conduct but then protect the person that's carrying out that conduct? But it's not for me to say.
You know, I had only seen highlights of the interview. I hadn't seen the entire interview until last week when I finally had time to sit down and alone without my husband being around, has no interest in this. And I have to say, I agree that it probably in terms of keeping the family relationship a positive one, or at least trying to have some sort of semblance of positivity in the future, it wasn't the best move. But by the same token, I didn't find her disingenuous in the least, nor did I find him disingenuous.
Well, it's...
And none of us know what really happened behind closed doors. And
exactly.
The fact is, it was apparently lousy enough that they felt that they needed to get out.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, Congressman Matt Gaetz says he won't be intimidated. He's not going to be getting out anytime soon. In an op-ed for the Washington Examiner yesterday, Gaetz again denied sexual misconduct claims. The Florida Republican is reportedly being investigated for an alleged relationship with a 17-year-old girl and whether he paid other women for sex. Gaetz calls this an attack and refuses to resign. He says some in the Justice Department may be trying to, quote, pervert the truth.
Pas de bonne politique. A group of lawmakers in France are in grande difficulté. The Paris prosecutor's office is opening up an investigation into accusations that several high-ranking government officials have been flouting their own COVID rules throughout the pandemic by dining in secret at clandestine restaurants, like little pop-up restaurants just for VIPs. French restaurants have been closed since October, but these folks who have been ID'd apparently think the rules don't apply to them. Prosecutors say if the accusations are indeed true, these folks are in big trouble, and the allegations were part of a documentary that aired on a French TV network over the weekend.
Well, it certainly it seems like this is a worldwide problem, politicians behaving in a manner that's not conducive with the laws that they're putting out there. All right. Well, we're going to have the Jet Set Juliet travel report, a whole lot more in terms of business, sports, weather. But first, at 5:27, time for traffic and transit on the 7s. Here's Joe Nolan.
again, everybody, if you're on the Sawmill both ways construction between Farragut and Ashford, this is new this week. So, again, all lanes will be closed, and that's till about 6 o'clock this morning. New England Thruway, southbound Connor Street to Westchester Avenue. There's road work right and center lanes are out. And, again, Staten Island bound for Rosano, the lower level, also going to be shut down. So be very careful as you travel about. And alternate side, again, today is in effect. I'm Joe Nolan with Traffic on the 7s. Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you, Joseph. Frank, coming up in my Jet Set Julia travel update at 5:40. I know that you're not much of a cruiser, but maybe I could, I don't know, convince you. Maybe we could do a little cruise, a little early news cruise type thing.
I will absolutely go.
Well, perhaps we could do it sometime this summer. Is it time to book that cruise out of New York? We will talk about that. But first, Deb has your headlines.
Entertaining and informative. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Thank you very much, announcer man. 49 degrees heading up to 68 and lots of sun today. WABC Early News time is 5:32. I'm Juliet Huddy along with Frank Morano. And coming up in your Jet Set Juliet travel update at 5:40, a major cruise line announces it is sailing from U.S. ports again for the first time since the pandemic hit. But will this stick? And is it your favorite line? The answer is coming up at 5:40. But first, Frank, let's get back to some headlines.
All right. Well, nearly 40,000 children are mourning the loss of a parent to coronavirus, with nearly 10,000 under the age of 10. New research in the Journal of the American Medical Association Pediatrics found black children were disproportionately affected. They make up 14% of children nationwide, but 20% of those losing a parent to COVID. The journal says kids suffering this type of grief are at higher risk for depression and suicide.
Well, if you're an Anglophile like me and you were hoping British Prime Minister Boris Johnson was going to give us good news yesterday with regard to opening up its borders to international travel during a last minute press conference yesterday, I'm sorry. Apparently, we are going to have to wait a while longer to travel over to the UK. Johnson says they're not quite ready to announce any decisions because he doesn't want to underestimate the risk of travelers coming back into the UK, you know, bringing various new strains of the virus that seem to be popping up constantly. The prime minister did, however, confirm that the UK will be employing this traffic light system that I talked about a couple weeks ago, but not until May 17th at the earliest. This would be like a green, amber, red. It would ID countries and their vaccination rates to, you know, kind of determine if they're safe to visit or if their residents are safe to come to the United Kingdom. So we're just going to have to wait a little bit while longer to get that information.
And it looks like the surge at the border is breaking records. Customs and Border Protection officials say more than 170,000 illegal immigrants were stopped last month. Of that, 18,000 were children traveling without their parents, marking the most ever in a single month. The CBP also revealed agents disrupted 5 separate human smuggling attempts, resulting in 86 people arrested from countries including Mexico, Guatemala, and Honduras.
And Border Patrol along the Mexican border arrested 2 Yemeni men on the FBI's most wanted list. Both tried to come in near Calexico in California. Obviously, you know, this is providing fuel to the fire from the GOP. They claim the Biden administration's border policy is far too lenient and far too dangerous.
A justice on the Supreme Court says that social media sites like Twitter and Facebook have unbridled control over speech. So Clarence Thomas thinks Congress should update laws to better regulate such platforms. His opinion came with the court's decision to dismiss the case you mentioned earlier, Juliet, concerning former President Trump's use of Twitter while in office. Thomas previously supported Trump and other Republicans who refused to accept election results.
And an interesting move overseas. Folks living in England are being asked to take not one but 2 rapid tests every week. The theory being we monitor ourselves strictly for a bit and then the virus will slow down. The twice weekly program starts Friday. It does not include Scotland, Northern Ireland or Wales. And already people are saying, what are you talking about? We're not going to do this. No way are we going to be doing this twice a week. So I have a feeling we're going to be finding out that this program is going to be on pause very soon.
Wow. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. But baseball season is back, as you heard Christian mention. The Mets bullpen didn't hesitate to disappoint us yesterday. But some baseball fans aren't hiding how they feel about the Houston Astros cheating scandal. They threw an inflatable trash can on the L.A. Angels field last night at the end of the sixth inning. Moments later, a real garbage can landed and spilled plastic bottles, interrupting play again. Angels fans also banged on trash cans to serenade the Astros while they were at the plate. The Angels won 7-6.
All right. It is now time for Traffic on the Sevens with Joe Nolan. Hey, Joe.
Still a pretty quiet morning. Staten Island bound Verrazano. The lower level is closed. The upper level Staten Island bound one lane is closed. The overnight maintenance that happens pretty much every day. If you're both ways on the Sawmill, this is new and this will be all week between Farragut and Ashford. All lanes are closed. That also for repaving. And if you're on the New England Thruway southbound, the usual construction, Connor Street down to Westchester Avenue, two lanes are out right and center. Now, mass transit, everybody right on or close to schedule, including the commuter railroads and alternate side of the street. Parking rules and regulations again today are in effect. And this support a service of LifeLock Identity Theft Protection. Identity thieves love tax forms with personal info needed to steal your identity. That's why LifeLock helps protect, monitor, and restore your identity. Now, no one can monitor all transactions at all businesses, but you can save 25% off your first year at LifeLock.com, promo code RISK. I'm Joe Nolan with Traffic on the Sevens, Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you, Joe. Frank, were you upset because I didn't thank you for my postcard like Joe did?
No, but I'm so glad that you got it. I didn't know that you got it.
I got it a while ago, and well, I totally forgot to mention it. But we have our other postcard from you up on our refrigerator, and this one will be going up as well. It's just been sitting on our kitchen island, actually.
I am honored to make the refrigerator because when we came back to Atlantic City, from Atlantic City, Christian and I had sent you that postcard, and then you made a point of remarking on air how you had not received the postcard.
And I know, and I received it very shortly thereafter. I thought you were lying about sending me a postcard. Well, I thought it was all one big joke.
I know, and you represented that to our vast listenership.
But I was wrong.
There was no retraction on air about my implied dishonesty.
I have now retracted. I am in the moment of retraction right now as we speak.
I accept your retraction.
All right, coming up in Frank's business report, corporations around the world reacting to Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen's big announcement yesterday. And in your Jet Set Julia travel update at 5:40. Going to be a great next few days weather-wise. I have the top brunch spots to visit, according to Travel and Leisure.
This is the WABC Early News.
For the umpteenth time since we've been doing this show, I am once again telling you these words. Stocks hit record highs yesterday as strong jobs data boosted hopes for a quick economic recovery. The Dow Jones up 374 points. The S&P 500 up 58 points. The Nasdaq up 225 points. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen is pushing for a minimum tax on multinational corporations to, quote, level the playing field on a global scale. During her first major speech, Yellen said the global tax will make sure the global economy spurs innovation, growth, and prosperity. She said the Biden administration wants to end a global race to the bottom on corporate tax rates. The speech comes as the World Bank and International Monetary Fund are launching their spring meetings this week. Julia.
All right. Time now for your Jet Set Julia travel update at 5:40. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Juliet Huddy TV for more details, pictures, and information. And we have some breaking news. Norwegian Cruise Lines has launched its plan to restart cruises out of American ports starting appropriately on the 4th of July. The CDC still has to approve this. But, you know, I mentioned recently that there's been an aggressive push by lawmakers and lobbyists to get cruises back on the high seas again from U.S. ports, not down in the Caribbean, not the Bahamas, but U.S. ports after the industry was devastated by COVID. Thankfully, the CDC appears to be willing to make things work. Here's the essence of the plan. Every crew member, every visitor, every guest must prove that they have been fully vaccinated. They also submitted a clear plan as to their strict health and safety protocols. So basically, if you want to take a cruise on Norwegian out of New York City or wherever, you've got to be willing to get your vaccine. This also applies to their sister lines, Oceania and Regent Seven Seas. It's definitely not going to look the same, by the way, cruising is. I'm guessing they're going to reimagine the buffet, probably do away with it, and sort of reduce the interactions between crew and guests to minimize contact as much as possible. We'll probably see more automation, more reliance on cell phones, you know, to look at menus, that type of thing. And passengers will be at a reduced capacity, which could be kind of nice, actually. All right. Travel and Leisure is a great source for travel lovers. And one of the things that they do best is they get into the details. And they've just released their 100 best brunch spots in the United States. And I've got some highlights I think might interest you. Number one on the list is Orchids in Honolulu. All right, so I'm guessing most of us probably are not going to be making it out there anytime soon, if ever. So I'll tell you some of the hot spots in our neck of the woods. Coming in on the bottom 50 of the top 100, the Beehive up in Armonk, up in Westchester County, just eked on the list at spot number 100. The Morning Rose Cafe out in Belmore on Long Island is also on that top 50, lower 50. Next is Jam in Massapequa Park. The Palm Court at the Plaza Hotel here in Manhattan. Buttermilk Channel in the Carroll Gardens Red Hook area. Followed right after that by Cafe Luluk in Cobble Hill. And Max Brenner's in the city. And Alice's Teacup Chapter 2 in the city as well. So now we're going to go to the top 50. All right, we should have a drum roll. Clinton Street Baking Company down on the Lower East Side is on the list. My old haunt, the Brownstone Pancake Factory in Edgewater, comes in at 42 over in New Jersey. In the teens, the Corner Restaurant in Milford, Connecticut comes in at 19. Comfy in Old Bridge Township in New Jersey is 17. Balthazar in Soho obviously had to make that list. It's at number 12. Norma's, just south of Central Park, takes the top spot. I believe it's temporarily closed, by the way, though. And that is for our area. Norma's is coming in at number 2. I am just horrified that my favorite place, the Laurel Diner out on Long Beach, did not make the list. Long Beach, Long Island. Unacceptable. Christian, that is unacceptable. Do you not agree?
I agree. It's funny. I actually had lunch there the other day on Sunday after I came back from doing Sid Sports Sunday.
Place is the best.
Oh, Julie,
the best.
You can people make your own list, and we'll publish it on WABCRadio.com. What gives this publication any more credibility than you have?
Well, because they go around to lots of different places. And Christian doesn't.
Well, all right, fair enough.
Right, and, I was agreeing with you.
No, I'm saying, but I'm just saying, you know, we can't possibly hit all of these brunch spots. I mean, maybe we can. Maybe we can, but
I think it's worth. I'm up for the challenge.
Travel and Leisure is a great outlet. I really like their stories. They come up with some really good stuff. Also, very quickly, Virgin Hotels is opening up in Scotland. Richard Branson I love him. He's so cool and such a romantic. He's been launching Virgin Hotels around the world, including Chicago, Dallas, Vegas. I think, Frank, you were talking about that, and also Nashville. All are in the U.S. at this point, except for two that are going up in Scotland. His latest is planned for Glasgow on the River Clyde. And there's also one going up in the medieval mecca of Edinburgh. The trendy Euro hotspots feature all the sexy attractions of the American properties, including their raucous rooftops for partying the night away and luxury lounges and restaurants. And why Scotland, you ask? Well, his wife, as he says, is a proud Glaswegian. We can expect three more U.S. hotels, Virgin Hotels, in New Orleans, Miami, and New York City. And Major League Baseball is going to be picking the Mile High City for the All-Star Game. Christian, I have a feeling that you knew that. The league bailed from Atlanta over the state's controversial new voting law. So I guess the commissioner is expected to declare Coors Field later today. Do we know?
That is what is being reported at the moment.
All right. Well, that's it for my Jet Set Juliet travel update. Follow me at Twitter at JulietHuddyTV. Same thing with Instagram.
All right. Well, Christian gave us a sneak preview of what's happening in the world of sports. What else is happening, Christian Arnold?
Well, the big story after last night is, of course, the Baylor Bears ending Gonzaga's march to perfection with an 86-70 victory in the national title game in Indianapolis.
Scott Drew's dream comes true. Coach Drew and Baylor complete college basketball. basketball's greatest rebound and rebuild with a championship.
That's right. The championship is Baylor's first men's basketball national title in school history. Jared Butler scoring 22 points, and Macy Oteig had 19 for Baylor. The Bulldogs finished the season at 31-1, meaning the 1975-76 Indiana Hoosiers remain the last team to finish the season undefeated. In baseball news, the Mets, they got their season underway, but the excitement was short-lived as they blew a 2-0 lead in the eighth inning in a 5-2 loss to the Philadelphia Phillies. Starter Jacob DeGrom pitched six scoreless innings and struck out seven before handing over the reins to the bullpen. It was reliever Trevor May who gave up the first three runs to Philadelphia in the eighth, and Aaron Loop gave up the final two. This was May after the loss.
There's just a lot of excitement building up to this day, and that's not the way that you want it to end, you know, and yeah, it's frustrating. I can't imagine what it was like to watch it. So, you know, I'm feeling as frustrated as I can be.
Giancarlo Stanton hitting a 470-foot home run to lead the Yankees to a 7-0 victory over the Baltimore Orioles. Sorry, Juliet, I know you're an Orioles fan. The Jets with some big news yesterday, trading quarterback Sam Darnold to the Carolina Panthers. In return, they get a 6th-round pick in this year's draft, a 2nd and a 4th-round pick in the 2022 draft. And the Brooklyn Nets, they defeat the New York Knicks 114-112. With sports at 15-45, I'm Christian Arnold with the 77 WABC Early News.
Excellent, Christian. Oh, excellent. You, let's head to traffic on the sevens with Joseph Nolan.
Well, now we have trouble on the Hutch, northbound East Lincoln Avenue. Unauthorized tractor trailer there, apparently into the overpass. There's debris on the roadway. That in Mount Vernon, out on the island, eastbound on the LIE, Route 112, exit 64, a stall. Again, right lane out of service. Then Staten Island, Mount Vernon is on a lower level again. That's going to be shut. The upper level, one lane out, that for road work. Same thing on the Sawmill Construction, all lanes closed. Farragut to Ashford and alternate side of the street. Parking rules once again today are in effect. Mass transit, everybody right on or close to schedule. Traffic on the sevens. I'm Joe Nolan, Talk Radio 77, WABC.
Thank you, Joe. From the Ramsey Subaru Weather Center, let's check out what's happening for this week. Today, it's going to be a nice day, pretty much a carbon copy of yesterday. We'll get up to 68 degrees with not a cloud in the sky. Going to be absolutely sunny and beautiful today. Tomorrow, Wednesday, we'll get up to 69 degrees, but the clouds will start to roll in. We'll have a mix of clouds and sun for Wednesday. Thursday looks really nice, 66 degrees, mostly sunny skies. Friday, we start to get a little bit cooler. We're going to get down to 58 degrees with mostly cloudy skies, although there will be some sun popping through here and there. And just in time for the weekend, Saturday and Sunday, we will be having showers and temperatures in the mid to upper 50s, unfortunately. And probably those showers will head into Monday as well, unfortunately. It's just, is it me or have we had just a lot of rain lately?
Well, April showers bring May flowers.
But it was before April. I mean, it just feels like it's just been going and going and going. Lots of snow, lots of rain.
That's true. You're right.
Yeah. 49 degrees currently, though, in New York City. And when we come back, we will tell you all sorts of things, including the awards season is kicking into high gear.
All the news that's fit to be heard. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC.
551, this is the WABC Early News. I'm Frank Moreno. Some great news. Coney Island's Luna Park is reopening on Friday. Due to COVID-19, it will have reduced capacity and distancing rules. The official opening will be at 11 a.m., and it will include the egg cream christening of the Cyclone roller coaster. The park has not seen visitors since October of 2019.
The park has never seen Juliet Huddy.
What
before.
Do you mean?
I've never been there.
Well, let's go.
I know. There are a lot of places that we need to go. We need to do brunch. We need to have a cruise. We're going to do a karaoke
thing?
No,
this has got to be a priority.
I completely agree.
We've got to go.
We definitely have to. By the way, awards season is kicking into high gear. A couple updates for you. First of all, country superstars. Oh, God, I hate country music so much. But anyway, I'm going to tell you because I know a lot of you love it. Superstars like Maren Morris and Kelsey Ballerini are among the roster of heavy hitter performers at this year's, basically the Oscars for country music, the CMAs, Country Music Awards. Dierks Bentley and Luke Luke Bryan also on the list of 25 acts performing more than 30 songs from three iconic country music venues down in Nashville. First of all, the Grand Ole Opry, classic, Ryman Auditorium, another classic, and the Bluebird Cafe. The show hosts this year are Keith Urban and new female Artist of the Year nominee Mickey Guyton. I don't know if I'm pronouncing her name right. The CMAs air live on Sunday, April 18th. I didn't have my coffee today. I'm very, very in need of it. Also, we're finding out a little bit more about this year's Oscars, Frank, which are airing the following Sunday. Not only will they be coming to you from two locations in Los Angeles, the Dolby Theater and the historic railway outpost Union Station, but there's also a British location and a surprise location. I believe it will be in Paris. Oh. Initially, producers said that there would be a no Zoom policy, but it sounds like they're wavering on that a bit. Meantime, on, ironically, a Zoom call last week, producers, including Steven Soderbergh, said that they've set up an entire testing facility, COVID testing facility, just for the Oscars. And by the way, LA's Union Station is in the hip, revitalized downtown area of Los Angeles. You used to never want to go down there. Now it's like the place to be. Union Station opened up in the 1930s. It's been used as a filming location for so many movies, including Blade Runner, Speed, Catch Me If You Can, and even Pearl Harbor. Event organizers say the setup there is going to be kind of like a cocktail party vibe for the Oscars.
Oh, that's neat. That'll
yeah, I like that. And the 93rd Oscars will go live on ABC April 25th at 8 p.m. Eastern.
Colorado residents now have a new way to show their love for the state's legal marijuana. They can do so by bidding on weed-themed Colorado license plates with phrases like bong or is it 420 or hemp. Colorado's governor told CNN the state is doing this to raise money for its disability funding committee. The auction is set to end on the unofficial holiday celebrating weed, April 20th.
That's pretty funny.
It is clever.
420. An update on that shocking photo shoot in Dubai that I told you about yesterday. So here's the deal. 40 women, models in their teens and early 20s, are sitting in a prison in Dubai. I don't know that I'd want to be in a prison in Dubai, I got to tell you. After being arrested in Dubai for lewd behavior, the women were busted after photos went viral showing them posing completely naked on a balcony overlooking the city. Not the smartest move in a Muslim country with strict rules about public decency, I have to tell you. Most of the ladies hail from Ukraine, Russia, Belarus, or Moldova. A Russian man named Alexei Konsov was also taken in. I think he might be the guy behind the shoot. And reports suggest it was all part of an Israeli porn shoot. Mm. The group is facing sentences, oh my God, of 6 months in prison and roughly $1,500 in fines.
Well, you know, it's funny. As I was researching this story, Juliet, when
you brought it
to our attention.
Sure you were.
I was forced to look at this, this image.
Yes.
Didn't want to, but I was forced to in order to speak about this authoritatively. And these women, they look like professional models. You could tell they're very statuesque, I'll say. And I am betting that they were paid a whole lot of money for this, knowing that they probably would have to face some criminal penalties. I'm thinking they were probably paid enough to make 6 months in prison worth their while.
I would really hope so, because there's 40 of them. And I would imagine that certain facets of the Muslim culture, particularly the criminal factors that are in jails, would not take too kindly to them. So I hope you're right. I hope that they're happy with their current arrangement. I'm guessing that they're not.
Well, we'll see. I mean, there'll be such an outcry from art lovers around the world that the United Arab Emirates will go easy on them and maybe will give them let them off with a warning this time around.
Let's hope so.
Yes. Well, we'll see. All right. Well, 5:57, time for traffic and transit on the sevens with a man who has some warnings for you about the traffic. And that's our very own Joe Nolan.
Out to Long Island this time out in Suffolk at Route 112, exit 64, stalled vehicle. The right lane is out. The big problem, though, is definitely northbound on the Hutch up at East Lincoln Avenue, an unauthorized tractor trailer into the overpass there. Apparently a debris spill, so it's in the process of being cleaned up both ways on the Sawmill. That roadwork should be out of the way shortly. New England Thruway on the southbound side, same deal. Construction right in center lane out at Connor Street. and you've got problems on the transit authority, delays on the Uptown D, police activity at West 4th, and alternate side again today is in effect. In this report, it's the service of LifeLock. Identity thieves love tax forms with personal info needed to steal your identity. That's why LifeLock helps protect, monitor, and restore your identity. No one can monitor all transactions at all businesses, but you can save up to 25% off your first year at LifeLock.com. Promo code RISK. I'm Joe Nolan with traffic. Traffic on the 7s. Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you, Joe. Who was that masked bunny on the White House balcony Monday? Of course, it was the Easter Bunny. President Biden and the First Lady, sans fishnets, joined the extremely tall rabbit for a ceremony commemorating the holiday. They also reminded folks, if the world's most famous bunny can wear a mask, you can too. And I believe the bunny might have been, cover your kids' ears, there might have been somebody in the military who works at the White House.
Well, why would we cover their kids' ears? Because
no, he wore a mask. But cover kids' ears.
I see.
You know, we don't want to say that the bunny's not real.
I see. All right, well, I don't think people think that was the real Easter Bunny. Do they?
Oh, they might. Right. They might. I mean, yeah. Right. The Easter Bunny. Well, yeah. He's everywhere these days.
He does. Yeah, this is his busiest time of year.
And do we know that it's a he?
I personally don't. I've never
you
gotten that
checked
close
it
with
out?
Everybody. No.
Yeah, I mean, I've never done any research on that. It could be a she. Who
all right, Christian, let's get to work on that, please. All right. Well, somebody's cutting a big check for a lock of hair from the nation's first president. The hair went for just under $40,000 during a Leland's auction that finished Friday after 45 bids. It was believed to have been removed from the founding father close to or after his death in 1799. The hair was kept in a handmade brass and glass locket with a letter dated in 1836.
Cool.
These strands of hair went for a few thousand dollars more than another lock from Washington's Maine in 2019.
Well, a discovery in South Africa may alter the way scientists think Homo sapiens emerged. Researchers were working on a dig in the Kalahari Desert. They found crystals dating back roughly 150 years. The gems are believed to have been used in rituals rather than for practical reasons. And the findings suggest complex human development happened deep inland, not necessarily on the coast as previously thought. The crystals were dated by a method that measures sunlight accumulated in grains of the crystals. The excavation also uncovered stone tools, animal bones that indicated they were butchered for food, and burned ostrich eggshells believed to have been used for drinking.
All right. Well, we have more news, sports, traffic, and business coming your way.
And historical findings.
And research into the gender of the Easter Bunny. Don't go anywhere.
Excellent.
Fox News National Headlines is next.
The Rooster for your morning. All the news you need to know. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
6:05. This is the WABC Early News. I am Frank Morano.
I'm Juliet Huddy. How is everybody doing today? Good, I hope.
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm lovely. I'm wonderful. And Deb, I'm sure, is wonderful. She sounds great. She's following all the breaking news stories. Christian's at the controls, and he's in with sports as well. I think Sid is back tomorrow, but Christian did a bang-up job filling in for him.
Still plenty of time for that to change.
That's true. That's true. He could falter. Here's what you're going to be talking about around the water cooler today. Blood type. Does it really affect your risk of getting sick with COVID? There are some new details out. Also, the Trump Presidential Library is not to be, I will explain. And we're going to break down the gender of the Easter Bunny. I have done my research, and let me tell you something. I just found out some pretty shocking information.
Oh, my. Oh,
yeah,
my.
It's pretty wild.
This is nuts. Now, we're going to be exposing Peter Rabbit's gender next. So it's going to
well,
be
we
a
know
very
what he
interesting
is.
Half hour. All right. Well, stay tuned for that and a whole bunch more breaking news. Well, I mean, you know.
I've never known a girl to be named Peter.
I guess that's true.
I've known a Michael for a girl.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, who was that?
My mom named herself Michael Ann when she was a singer.
Is that
she, also, she had a top 10 hit, by the way.
You know, I tried to research your mom's singing career recently, and maybe it's because I was looking under her real name, not a stage name.
She went under Erica Trevor. That was when she was on The Tonight Show. It was Erica Trevor.
Interesting. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, it's good to know.
But she also went by Michael Ann at one point
when
she was much younger.
Well, we are going to have to explore that, perhaps on tomorrow's edition of The Other Side
sure.
of Midnight. So
sure.
We'll get into that. 6:07, let's get into the traffic with Joe Nolan.
Out to Long Island this time, out in Suffolk at Route 112, exit 64, stalled vehicle. The right lane is out. The big problem, though, is definitely northbound on the Hutch up at East Lincoln Avenue. An unauthorized tractor trailer into the overpass there. Apparently a debris spill, so it's in the process of being cleaned up both ways on the Sawmill. That roadwork should be out of the way shortly. New England Thruway on the southbound side, same deal. Construction right in center lane out at Connor Street, and you've got problems on the Transit Authority, delays on the Uptown D, police activity at West 4th, and alternate side again today is in effect. And this report is the service of LifeLock. Identity thieves love tax forms with personal info needed to steal your identity. That's why LifeLock helps protect, monitor, and restore your identity. No one can monitor all transactions at all businesses, but you can save up to 25% off your first year at LifeLock.com. Promo code RISK. I'm Joe Nolan with traffic. Traffic on the 7s. Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you, Joe, from your Ramsey Subaru Weather Center. It's going to be a beautiful day today. Going to get right up to about 70 degrees. Lots of sun. Wow, what a day to go to brunch at one of those places that I mentioned in the Jet Set Juliet travel update at 540. Wednesday, we're going to have partly cloudy skies, although we will see some sun coming out. It'll be pretty nice, 69 degrees again. Thursday, 66 degrees, mostly sunny skies. By Friday, we're going to have some clouds come in. It'll be mostly cloudy, but with a little bit of sun. Unfortunately, the weather's going to get a tad cooler. We're going to get up to the high 50s. And by the weekend, we should have rain that will continue into Monday at this point. And currently, the weather is 48 degrees in New York City.
It looks like it should be a pretty nice day overall based on your description.
Yes, yes. Can I give you just a little update on the Easter Bunny?
Oh, please.
The theory is that the Easter Bunny lays eggs, so she'd be a girl. It would be a girl. But interestingly, the hair was a popular motif in the medieval church world, especially in art. So back in ancient times, it was believed, like Plutarch, Philostratus believed this, that the hair was a hermaphrodite. The idea that a hair could reproduce without the loss of virginity led to an association with the Virgin Mary.
See, this is why people need to listen to this show. Yep. Where else are you going to find out the true gender of the Easter Bunny?
Brother.
This is tremendous.
Amen.
Wow.
I'm going to go with the Easter Bunny's female here, though.
All right. Well,
she does have some. Well, it does have some feminine qualities to it. So I'm going to go with the. Yeah, it's female.
Well,
no hermaphrodite.
For the sake of morning show harmony,
For the sake of the children.
I will concur with you on this one. All right. Well, speaking of children, Hunter Biden has a new memoir out today. It's called Beautiful Things. In excerpts published in the New York Times, the president's son gives graphic details of his struggles with drugs and alcohol. There's not much held back as he opens up about his addiction to crack cocaine. He writes that in the past 5 years alone, his 20-year marriage had dissolved, guns have been put in his face, and he was living in motels because of his addictions. Hunter now says he's clean and credits his new wife, Melissa Cohen, for his sobriety.
Well, forget the whole blood type theory. I mean, I have been leaning on this theory for a long time when it comes to COVID, but that's the word from researchers who studied whether a person's blood type affects their risk of getting COVID. Previous studies showed people with type A blood seem to be more at risk. But this new data from U.S. researchers says that there's no link between COVID severity, hospitalization, and blood group. So, okay, then what about those previous studies? Well, the researchers say that there were probably other factors, including everything from the bias of the publication that was releasing the information to geography and genetic differences. Interestingly, though, the study did find that being a man, being older, and being non-white did increase your chances of getting sick.
Hmm.
Yeah. Wow. So you're okay.
Thank
you. Got the man thing going there.
Wonderful.
No, you're not older, I don't think. Well, how old are you?
We'll get to that a little later. The governor of Texas is blaming Major League Baseball for why he didn't throw out the first pitch at the Rangers home opener yesterday. Greg Abbott turned down the invitation because he doesn't agree with the summer's All-Star game being moved from Atlanta. That decision came after sweeping changes to voting laws in Georgia. Abbott says he will no longer participate in any event held by Major League Baseball.
In a sign designed to make it clear he is not going anywhere, former President Trump is putting his presidential library on hold. Bloomberg reporting that Trump is putting it on ice to let everyone know that he plans to run for president again in 2024. But other experts say he may never have a library because they're just really expensive to build and they're kind of difficult to put together. The ex-president Barack Obama's library isn't even under construction yet. The Chicago property will reportedly start revving up later on this year.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see the future of presidential libraries. As you point out, they really are incredibly cost prohibitive, mm-hmm. and that you have to raise essentially the amount of money for a whole presidential campaign and then some in order just to get these libraries built. And you really wonder, with so much research being done online, what form these presidential libraries will take in the future.
I agree. Yeah, definitely. It's nice to go and see a presidential library. I used to spend a lot of time at the Reagan Library out in Simi Valley because I lived and worked out there. We did a lot of things there. And it was a really amazing experience. It's great for kids. It's really educational. It's a nice place to have cocktail parties, you know, and events. But it's expensive, mm-hmm. really expensive. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, a Texas-based company is showing off its work after fully surveying the world's deepest known shipwreck. A crew from Caledon Oceanic took a vessel to map and film the USS Johnston 21,180 feet below the surface of the Pacific Ocean. Can you believe it?
Wow.
It is a World War II U.S. Navy destroyer that was sunk during a battle with Japan in 1944. So Caledon Oceanic's founder, Victor Vescovo, was given the record of completing the deepest shipwreck dive ever. He said, as a former Navy commander, he's proud to help bring clarity and closure to the ship, its crew, and loved ones.
Well, they're calling it Fort Hood 2.0, a reference, obviously, to a series of sexual assaults on women by their male counterparts at the Texas Army installation. Now, 22 soldiers at the Fort Sill military base in Oklahoma are suspended following sexual assault accusations from a female trainee. The woman filed the complaint in late March. It's not clear when the attacks took place. The Intercept website reporting investigators are looking into a video of an incident involving several drill sergeants that was apparently being passed around the base. Now, it's not clear how many soldiers are involved, but the 22 include those who oversee training at the base. Reports of sexual assaults at U.S. military bases have been on the rise for the last decade. In 2018, more than 20,000 service members reported being sexually assaulted. Yeah.
My goodness. All right. Well, at 6:15, Sid Rosenberg is off filming the television program Gravesend. So we are fortunate enough to be joined for the final day by our very own Christian Arnold.
Well, thank you, Frank. Of course, the big story last night was the Baylor Bears ending Gonzaga Bulldogs' march to perfection with an 86-70 victory in the national title game in Indianapolis. The championship is Baylor's first men's national title in school history. One thing I want to get to, I haven't gotten to quite yet, is the home run from Giancarlo Stanton. It was 470-foot grand slam to lead the Yankees to a 7-0 victory over the Baltimore Orioles. Again, sorry, Juliet. That was their first loss of the season. Aaron Judge's fourth inning solo shot gave the Yankees a 1-0 lead early in the game, and the Orioles helped the Bombers in the fifth inning by walking Aaron Hicks with the bases loaded. Jordan Montgomery threw six innings, struck out six, and held the Orioles scoreless. This was Yankee skipper Aaron Boone on that monster home run from Stanton.
I was just walking in with Zillow, and it's just the way he hits them, it's just different. It's like nothing else. He is a unicorn. I mean, that ball was just so pure on a night where, you know, it's probably not flying great, and just hits it through the stadium.
The Yankees and Orioles go at it again tonight at 6:35 in the Bronx. It was a rough night for the New York Mets, who finally got their season underway. The excitement of Mets fans was wiped away when the bullpen blew a 2-0 lead in the eighth inning in a 5-2 loss to the Philadelphia Phillies. Starter Jacob deGrom, a great effort from him, pitched six scoreless innings and struck out seven before handing over the reins to the bullpen. It was reliever Trevor May who gave up the first three runs to Philadelphia in the eighth, and Aaron Loop gave up the final two. The Mets and Phillies are back at it again tonight at 7:05. Big news for the New York Jets. They traded quarterback Sam Darnold to the Carolina Panthers, ending the Darnold era in New York, while likely signaling the start to the Zach Wilson era. The Jets are now expected to take the BYU quarterback in this month's NFL draft, where they hold the second overall pick. Darnold was a third overall pick by the Jets in 2018, with expectations of being the team's quarterback of the future. Inconsistent play and unfortunate injuries led to Monday's trade. The Jets are acquiring a sixth-round pick in this year's draft, as well as a second and a fourth fourth round pick in 2022. Again, the expectation now is that Zach Wilson will be a New York Jet. The Brooklyn Nets, they defeat the New York Knicks 114-112. And boy, do you know it's a big sports day when the Brooklyn Nets and the New York Knicks playing each other is the last story in most people's sportscasts. Well, thank you so much for having me this week. I really do appreciate the opportunity. With sports with 15 and 45, for the last time, I'm Christian Arnold with the 77 WABC Early News.
Do you think it's really going to be the last time, though?
We'll see. Sid does take a lot of vacation, so yeah. I'm sure I'll be back.
I got to tell you, Frank, Bernie and Sid do take some good vacation time.
I have not taken
a single vacation.
And Frank don't take a lot of vacations, period.
That's true. Well, I just came back from my 1 week, and then I think I'm taking off another week before the end of the year, I think in the summer.
Well, I'm hoping that in June we can take 2 weeks. Well, my husband and I can take a 2 week vacation since I haven't taken a legitimate vacation in the entire year.
If anybody deserves one, it's you.
You're being funny.
Agreed. No, I'm not. I think you work very hard. These hours alone are tough. Hey, somebody.
Especially when you're my age.
Well, please. Yeah. All right. I'm not going to get your head swelled up
I
anymore.
I love setting you up like that.
All right. 6:17. Let's check in with Joe Nolan with traffic.
Out to Long Island this time, out in Suffolk at Route 112, exit 64, stalled vehicle. The right lane is out. The big problem, though, is definitely northbound on the Hutch up at East Lincoln Avenue, an unauthorized tractor trailer into the overpass there. Apparently a debris spill, so it's in the process of being cleaned up both ways on the Sawmill. That roadwork should be out of the way shortly. New England Thruway on the southbound side, same deal. Construction right in center lane out at Connor Street, and you've got problems on the Transit Authority, delays on the Uptown D, police activity at West 4th, and alternate side again today is in effect. And this report is the service of LifeLock. Identity thieves love tax forms with personal info needed to steal your identity. That's why LifeLock helps protect, monitor, and restore your identity. No one can monitor all transactions at all businesses, but you can save up to 25% off your first year at LifeLock.com. Promo code RISK. I'm Joe Nolan with traffic. Traffic on the 7s. Talk Radio 7. 77 WABC.
All right, thanks. Well, you think millionaires living here in New York City, they've got it. They've got the life, but they're going to be paying for it. They're going to be paying for it. And Frank is going to tell you all about that in his business report coming up. But first, let me give you a little weather update from the Ramsey Subaru Weather Center. It's going to be a gorgeous day, 69 degrees, lots of sun. Very, very light winds. Beautiful, absolutely beautiful, much like yesterday. Wednesday, we'll get up to 69 degrees as well. It's going to be partly cloudy, though. Oh, we will see some sun coming in, though. Don't worry. Thursday, the sun comes back out. It'll be mostly sunny skies, 66 of the high. And Friday, 58 degrees with mostly cloudy skies. By the weekend, we're going to start to see some rain, unfortunately. Currently, it is 48 degrees in New York City.
All right. Well, as mentioned, New York City millionaires are about to pay the highest personal income taxes in the country. The move in New York comes as part of the state's economic fallout from the pandemic. Governor Andrew Cuomo has stated for years the move would drive business out of Manhattan and the surrounding boroughs. But apparently, revenue shortfalls have created momentum for this tax hike. Under the proposed tax rate, the Big Apple's top earners would pay between 13.5% and 14.8% in state and city taxes. That's higher than California's top income rate of 13.3%. That would give New York the highest personal income tax for high-income earners in the entire country.
Well, another round of discoveries, Frank, this time in the UK, metal detectorist. Don't you have an uncle or something who is a metal detectorist?
Yes, he is a very enthusiastic metal detector.
Has he ever found anything really expensive or unique?
A lot of unique things, but most of them tend not to be expensive. Even things that are very old and very unique, they tend to, at most, be worth under $1,000, at least in his case.
Well, I mean, if $1,000 is not too bad.
Yeah.
Anyway, these metal detectorists surveying sites in Wales have stumbled on items dating back to the time of the Tudors, the Plantagenets, even as far back as the 800s. One of the most impressive finds, I love this. I'm going to post this on my Twitter account and my Instagram account at Juliet Huddy TV. It's a memento mori, a gold ring dating back sometime between the mid 15 to 1600s, which would have placed it during the Tudor or Stuart dynasties, I would say. The ring is engraved with a skull. It has the phrase memento mori, which is a Latin term that means remember you must die. The term was meant to remind the wearer of his or her, you know, fallibility. Other items include a medieval brooch, a Tudor silver coin collection. Oh, the coins are believed to have been from the 1300s during the reigns of Edward III and Richard II. The items were probably buried for safety, and either the owner died or was prevented from going back to get them for some reason. Mm. Oh, love this stuff.
Now, our research team has been hard at work, Juliet, mm-hmm. and apparently the Easter Bunny, also called the Easter Rabbit or Hare, which is a folkloric figure and symbol of Easter, yes, originating yes. from the German Lutherans, the Easter Hare or Easter Bunny does bring children colored eggs, but there's nothing about the bunny actually birthing the colored eggs. Mm.
So the hermaphrodite thing could be...
I think your use of that as evidence for the Easter Bunny's gender was a little off base, if you'll pardon my saying so.
You know, I got to be honest with you. I don't want to be the one who all the children look at when they're waiting for the school bus and they go, Mommy, Daddy, that's the lady that says the Easter Bunny's a hermaphrodite. I think that we should just move on.
Fair enough.
I really don't want that label.
I am with you on that.
Not that there's anything wrong with being a hermaphrodite.
No, not at all.
Nothing.
Not at all.
Well, absolutely. I mean, there is for you, I guess, but, you know.
What do you mean there is for me?
No, I mean, I wouldn't want to be a hermaphrodite, you know.
Well, the things you learn on this show, I mean, I'm glad that we got that clarified.
Well, would you?
Out of the way. I personally probably wouldn't. No. I'm happy the way I am.
Yeah, exactly.
But, again. Whatever.
Free to be you and me.
Exactly. All right. Before I say something that gets me canceled, let me move on to tell you about some of the other stories in the news. Amazon is being accused of illegally firing two workers last year who were critical of warehouse conditions. The National Labor Relations Board says it will issue a complaint if the case isn't settled. A spokesperson for the tech giant told the New York Times the employees were terminated for repeatedly violating internal policies.
Oh, interesting. Americans across the board can get their COVID vaccines by May 1st. But if you've been worrying about the reactions, like, for instance, me getting sick 50 times in my first week after my first Pfizer shot, that may or may not have been a reaction. Here is some advice. Experts say you can prep your body to lessen the physical burdens after your jab. I mean, some of these physical burdens they're talking about, nausea, fever, headache, aches and pains, you know, achy body, that type of thing. Number one, they say, get some fresh ginger. It has properties that help reduce nausea. We've heard about this. They also say, this is interesting, start eating a Mediterranean diet a few weeks before you get your shot. You know, veggies, fruits, whole grains, omega-3 rich foods like olive oil, salmon and other fish, and beans and eggs. The diet has anti-inflammatory effects. But they take a while to kick in. So that's why they want you to start it a couple weeks before your first shot. Also, they say watch your sugar. Foods that keep blood sugar at healthy levels include green veggies, beans, whole grains, berries, and apples, and lean proteins like eggs and nuts. Apparently keeping your sugar at a decent level is important, to keep you having reactions. And then also they say have a high fiber diet. They say a high fiber diet and fermented foods will help grow the kind of bacteria in your gut that helps kick the immune response into gear. Like we're talking about yogurt, kimchi, even sauerkraut. Mm. Interesting, right?
I'm hungry all of a sudden. A big thank you to James Toto for his research on the gender of the Easter Bunny. We owe you one, James.
Thank you, James.
And before we get out of here, an Asian New Yorker who says she's been devastated by all the hate crimes against members of her community has started a fund to help Asian New Yorkers pay for cab rides around the city. Maddie Park says she came up with the idea. She rode the subway feeling frightened and that she could be the city's next hate crime victim. She says she can afford to take a cab around New York but realizes a lot of folks can't. So she's putting up $2,000 of her own money to get this fund going.
All right. Well, we are going to lickety split for the day, but we do have traffic on the sevens with Joe Nolan. I hope everybody has a wonderful afternoon. Enjoy the day. And if you want to see the brunch spots that are local that are really great to go to, you can just go to our podcast at 77 WABC Early News on Twitter or on Instagram.
We'll see you tomorrow.